If there was a chapter in the Bible outside of Psalm 27 that I could park in and live, it'd be this one. Nehemiah chapter 8. I guess if I were honest today, and I am honest with you, this passage that I'm going to read to you most greatly describes my heart's desire for this church. Okay? My heart's desire for Arrington Branch Baptist Church is most greatly described by Nehemiah chapter number 8. Okay? Now, that's the Old Testament. I get that. But we'll read it. We got a great example here on how we need to be as a church. You know, there are times in my life that I've had to apologize for things. There are. But there are some things that I'm not sorry about. You understand? There's some things that I am not sorry about. And that's what I'm going to preach on today. Some things that I'm not sorry about. And all week long in my mind, the song, I've Never Been Sorry. And it's been going on and on. And that's it. There are things that I am sorry about when it comes to the world and it comes to my personal failures in my life. But when it comes to God and His business, I'm not sorry. The world can say what they want to, your friends and your family, but you ought to be able to say, hey, I'm not sorry for being who I am in the Lord. I'm not sorry because I am part of the family of God. I'm not sorry because I carry a King James Bible. I'm not sorry because I go to Arrington Branch Baptist Church. I'm not sorry. Let's look at verse number 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the privilege of being in church today. Lord, I thank you for the sweet Spirit of God that we have been able to enjoy. And I thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've sung and the time of testimony. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to get this across as you placed it so strongly on my heart the past few days. And we know that you're able to help us, and we pray that you will. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Now, I studied this week a different message called Seven Things That a Lost Man Has to Dread. And I may preach that tonight. I may preach it next week. I don't know. But God gave me this for today. And those of you that are here today, God's got you here for a reason. And don't forget that. God has got everybody in this church here for a specific purpose and for a specific reason. Now, we're going to go down to verse 16. I want you to look at verse 16 with me. We saw verse 1, and now I want you to look at verse 16. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither what? Neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's telling them that their condition, rather than apologizing for being God's people, rather than backing up from who they are and what they believe, he's saying, hey, go, get out, take off, get out there where your lives are living and show what you've learned, show what God has done in your life. Demonstrate to the world what you're experiencing in the house of God. And that's what my desire for you is. My desire is for you to take what you experience here today and go out throughout the week and let that light shine. God's desire for you is to take what you learn in your Bible and learn on your knees in your prayer closet and take that and give that to a lost and dying world. He said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. There's people out there that do not have what we enjoy. There's people out there that do not get to experience the power of God like you've seen. They do not get to experience the love of God like you felt and the presence of God like you have grown to love. They don't know anything about it. We're to send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Now, I want you to notice a few things here that he said, neither be ye sorry. Some things I'm not sorry about. Number one, I am not sorry about fellowship. Look at verse number 1 again. Verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. They were so close and so tight that when you looked at them, it just looked like one big person. You know, when it comes to people of God and the house of God, we're taught to be people that are unified. We're taught that it pleases God for men to dwell together in unity. We know that. That's why we are having different times of fellowship, different times where we get together and enjoy each other. Fellowship is a biblical thing, and I'm not sorry. You know, there's a lot of churches that don't do that. I mean, they have their big Sunday morning thing, and they go their way the rest of the week. They don't even think about church anymore. We get together, around the house of God and around the people of God, and we have a time to fellowship. So let me ask you this question. How many people in the church are you familiar with? How many people in the church have you grown to love over the years? Just a few. Let me tell you something. Now, I don't have, well, Lord, help them to know. I'm telling you the truth. I don't have anybody in mind when I'm fixing to say what I'm going to say. God is not in the business of clicks. Okay? God's not in the big, my four and no more. God's not in the business of clicks. We have one church. And according to the work of Nehemiah here in the word of Nehemiah, he said when they saw the people gathered together, they were so tight it looked like one person. What he said. The fellowship was so close. We have a day now where God's church has been so splintered and so violently shaken by the things of the world and the flesh and the devil that people don't know how to behave around one another anymore. We've gotten into a society where people are bad to talk about each other without talking to each other. And that's the only difference with that is just one little preposition. They're talking about each other rather than talking to each other. Did you know a lot of things could be worked out if you just pick up the phone and say, hey, here's something I got to ask you about. Here's something I'd like to talk to you about. Fellowship is something that I'm not sorry about. I thank God for it. There have been times that we've been down here playing... Well, the word left my head. Cornhole. I never even had played cornhole until I come here. And, get out there and I don't think I've ever seen anybody here take a cuss fit over losing at cornhole. I've seen a few powders, but no cuss fits. Can I get a witness on that? You know why? Because we're fellowshipping, we're getting together, we're doing stuff together. We had our Christmas dinner at our fellowship after the Christmas play, and there was a slush, did I say it right? Of people here. Huh? Slush. Of people here. I never did learn that word till about a year ago, and I've tried to learn how to use it. It's like Arnton and Arrington. Fellowship. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. And if you'll just realize there are people, here's what the devil, we'll tell you what the devil does about fellowship. The devil will make you think that there's 127 people in this church that don't like you. The devil will do that. Now, not everybody. A lot of y'all, you know who likes you and who don't, because the people that have been here a long time are honest people. And the people that have been here some of the longest time, you are growing into this place and you're learning. And sometimes you get it in your mind, oh, there ain't nobody in that whole church that likes me. Hogwash. The devil will tell you that to make you discouraged and to make you defeated and to make you downtrodden. Let me tell you something. Here's the deal. And my family has learned this over the years. When I was an evangelist preaching all kind of different places, all kind of different times, we learned a lot of lessons. And one of the lessons that we learned is that, if you're doing right, listen now, if you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. If you're doing right and somebody gets mad about it, it's on them, not you. I learned that. I had to teach my family that. If you're doing right and somebody don't like it, it's on them, not you. So you think, oh, well, there are people, they looked at me funny. Well, they might have looked at you funny. I might look at you funny. But it don't mean I don't like you. It may mean that I have a gnat in my eye. You never know. You have no idea. Well, they looked at me crossways. What in the world does that mean anyway? They snarled at me. They didn't even talk to me. You know what? Somebody that may not... Here's how the devil is so smart. Somebody that may not talk to you may be thinking about a bill they've got due and that they can't pay. They may be thinking about a test result that they've got coming up the next day. They may not feel like talking to anybody. They may need you to pat them on the shoulder and say, I love you and I'm praying for you. You know, there are people in this church that would fall over flat if you came up to them and said, hey, how you doing? I appreciate you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Because, hey, we got to get to the point where we're fellowshipping, and I'm not sorry about it. All right, number two. Not only fellowship, but desire. Desire. What does it say here? Verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to what? Bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Do you know something? I don't talk a lot about me. I try not to. But do you know something that thrills my soul, or Dwayne or any other preacher? Our souls are thrilled when somebody says, hey, I'm looking forward to the message. I mean, I'm looking for... Or when you go up to Tim and say, hey, Tim, thank you for the devotion. Or you go up to your Sunday school teacher and say, hey, thank you for that lesson. I needed that. When you go to them and say that, thank you for bringing the book to me, we ought to be people that are excited and are begging God to give us the word. They had a desire. There were people that had a desire. Here's what troubles me. To have anybody that's a Christian not desire to have the book brought to them. I want it given to me. I have an app on my phone that when I'm by myself and I'm going down the road or doing something, I'll turn that app on and just listen to preaching nonstop. I mean, and I like listening to music too, don't get me wrong. But we need the word given to us. I do a lot of preaching, but I got to have it given to me. And you should have a desire to have the word of God brought to you. I'm not sorry about a desire to want the word of God brought. Somebody asked me one time, why is it so important that the word of God is read and there's a message every single service? My soul, what is this place? We ought to open that, but I mean, if we shout for an hour and a half, we ought to still open the book and read it. Y'all all right? Otherwise, it's just a party. I remember the first time I come here, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. Lord have mercy. I don't even, was Jaden, did we have Jaden at that point? We had Jaden. Did we have Mason? No Mason, just Jaden. So like 14 years ago. And Brother Whittemore said, I'm going to take you out to Harold Ray's. And I said, oh, I've always wanted to go there. I've heard it on the radio. And I've heard him talk about that church and how it's the best church in the whole world at his revival meetings. And I've heard him say stuff. And you know, he used that word honey a lot. Does anybody remember that besides me? He'd talk about this church and he'd use it. And Brother Whittemore brought me out here. We rode in the back of his van. Brought me out here. And my wife can tell you, and some of y'all don't even remember, this church sang for a flat hour. Solid hour. He didn't budge. He sat right there, didn't move a muscle. Sat right there. And as sure as I'm standing in these size 15s on this stage, he got up and preached for a solid hour. As sure, they sang for an hour. He preached for an hour. And I, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Afterward, the testimonies and the prayer requests started. And that went on an hour. And me and my wife left out of there and told all our friends. In fact, this is the first church that ever supported us as missionaries. We left out of there and told all our friends and family that we just went to a church that sang for an hour, preached for an hour, and prayed for an hour, and nobody got mad about it. That's the good old glory days. Let me tell you something. I'd rather just go on to heaven than to say, well, that's the way it used to be. I'd rather just go on to heaven than to think that God is not, and I'm not saying services have to be 3 hours, my soul, and that's not what I'm saying at all. Some of the best services I've ever been in only lasted 30 or 45 minutes. I've been in services in places where I had a time limit on me and still God moved. And I know it's not about the clock. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about fellowshipping and bringing the word. Bringing the word. Some of y'all need to work on getting your minds empty so you can take in what God has in your brain and stuff it down in your soul. All right, fellowship, desire. Look at verse number 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. And then by the way, this is the law. This is the first 5 books of the Bible. This is not the Psalms. This is not those shouting passages in the Scripture. This is the law. This is the hard stuff. Now, there's about a half a dozen of you that'll shout when I preach on the hard stuff. All y'all ought to, I mean, you ought to be praising God for holiness and righteousness and living right and doing right. We ought to thank God that we have that.
Well, that didn't go over too well.
Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. I am not sorry about the Lord's Day. Amen. They had to start somewhere, so they started on the first day. Ain't that good? This is not the seventh day. That was a different, totally different story. This is the first day. And they said, hey, on the first day, we're going to give that day to the Word. We're going to give that day to fellowship. We're going to give that day to God. And you ought to set aside in your mind, live, die, sink, or swim. If it costs you every ounce of oxygen in your bloodstream to get to the house of God on the Lord's Day, that's where you belong. And I ain't sorry about it. This week, I'm telling you, I just told my wife a couple of days ago, she laughed at me a little bit because I got kind of happy about it. I'm not sorry about it. Nope. Write her down. Y'all okay? First day, verse number 3. I'm not sorry about witnessing, verse number 3. And he read therein before the street. Where were they at? Were they in a church? David wanted a church. He built that tent later on, but this is way back in Nehemiah's day. They had built the temple, and now they're building the wall. Ezra built the temple. They're building the wall, and they're not in the temple right now. They're not in there doing their religious stuff. They're out there in public, and they're witnessing. I'm not sorry about witnessing. Hey, what will all the worldly people think? What will the world think? Well, I hope they think that they need some of that. And if they don't, they're going to get it anyway. You know, there are some of you, and I love you, and there are some of you that I get around out away from here, and you are just the same there as you are here. Ain't that wonderful? When you bump into somebody at the grocery store, or you see somebody at the gas station, and you wave at them, and you just feel the kindred spirit, the bond. That's a beautiful thing to feel. If you don't have that, you need to work on that. You need to ask God to help you. I thank God for the witness, the testimony of God's people out in public, even when we're not in the house of God. Look at what else it says. He read therein before the street and was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Whoa, how about that? From the morning until midday. I wonder how many of them Middle Eastern Jews were looking at their sundials saying, I wonder when he's going to get done. Yes. Y'all okay? You know what we ought to have? And I get to keep mine so I can make sure I'm on track. We ought to have a basket at the door for phones and another basket at the door for watches. I'm just kidding. I'll never do that. I would never do that in a million years. Okay? Here we go. Some of y'all couldn't laugh, I'm telling you, for love nor money. Your souls are made out of mud. We got plenty of that, don't we? Sammy Allen, Brother Sammy Allen. I'm real comfortable right now. You just have to get over it. Brother Sammy Allen, he'd say, some of y'all need to shout. You watch him shake his glasses. Some of y'all need to shout. Say, well, that'll be wildfire. He said, don't worry about the wildfire. There's enough wet blankets in the house of God to never have to worry about no wildfire. That's what he said. Tell me I'm wrong. Hey, some of y'all knock the Spirit of God out of here so fast it's not even funny. I don't even know who you are. You know, it gets really good and then somebody gets sideways and it's like taking a pen and going up to the biggest balloon you can find and go, and everybody goes the whole building. Yes, you know I'm right. Okay, here we go. We're going to keep running. I'm not sorry about my fellowship or my desire or God's day, the Lord's day, and the witness. Now look at verse number 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattai and Shema and Ani and Urijah and Hilkiah and Masai and the right hand, and on the left hand Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashabana and Zechariah and Meshullam. I'm not sorry about this pulpit. I'm not sorry about it. Now, you won't find a lot of pulpits in the Bible, but they had one. And what that did literally was a place for the man that read the Word to be elevated a little bit up in a wooden stage with a desk around it. That's what you can look it up. That's what it was. Just very similar to what we have here. And I'm not sorry about it. We're not going to go down to a little smoke screen and the black lights and the lasers and the dance team. God help us. We're not going that way. I'm not sorry about the pulpit. Amen. Not sorry about it. And then he gives a whole list of men that were standing on the right side. And a whole list of men that were standing on the left side. And I'm not sorry that we got some good men in this church. I thank God for that. Listen, when I know that the men of the church, and it's important for everybody, men, ladies, old, young, but when the men of this, the backbone, the men of this church are behind the pastor and are behind the move of the church, that's a wonderful thing. But did you know that the church can only be as strong, just like a chain, as its weakest link? And some of you men need to get strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There may be myself or Dwayne or one of the other preachers may be preaching in this pulpit, or there may be an evangelist preaching in this pulpit, but if they're taking the Bible and they're reading it and preaching it, we ought to get around them and say, I'm for you. I'm with you. I believe what you're saying. That's right. All right. Not sorry for the pulpit. Verse number 5, I'm not sorry about the Word of God. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now we do that some here when Tim reads the scripture. That's why we do it. The Word of God is open, all the people stood up. You know something, now we don't do that a lot, and I don't make you stand the whole time I'm preaching or reading, but I'm telling you, this is a symbol of respect and honor. You ought to treat your Bible like it's something. You ought to treat the Word of God like it's something big, like it's something important. And yet we live in a society where people have degraded the Bible to little or no value. Oh my, we ought to stand up in great respect and honor the Word of God. All right, here we go. Verse number 6. I love verse 6. I wish some of y'all would read that more than once. Verse 6. I love verse 6. Did I tell you I love verse 6? Look at verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Now, first of all, I'm not sorry about preaching. I am not sorry about preaching. We get up here and we preach the Word of God. We bless Him. We praise Him. We worship Him through this blessing. And Ezra was uplifting the name of God. And I'm not sorry about preaching. We'll have our youth revival here in a few weeks. And we'll have a bunch of preachers through here that week. We'll have young preachers. We'll have older preachers. We've got Brother Bruce Robinson nailed down the first 3 days. He's going to come in and preach to us. And let me tell you something. He's going to be saying some of the same things I say. He's going to be saying things that I've never said before that he finds in the Scripture. He's going to read verses that I've never preached out of. Maybe, I don't know. Either way, if it's the Word of God, we ought to say amen and be glad about it. And I'm telling you what, I thank God. I'm not sorry about preaching. I am not interested in a bunch of ear-tickling nonsense. We need preaching. We need preaching. That's what we need. All right? I'm not sorry about shouting. Look at what it says. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. Some of y'all, if you said amen, I'd probably pass out right here on stage. Don't even know if you can. It's a four-letter word. It's not very long. And it's very easy. Amen. And when he preached and they said it, I mean, that there's nothing better than when the people, and all eight, the word amen, you know what that means? Does that mean, what does that mean? Does that mean, you know, it just means I'm agreeing with you. Amen, I'm agreeing with you. Well, hey, what he said kind of hurt me a little bit. Well, if it was out of the Bible, you better agree with it. And here, they agreed with it twice. Amen, amen. But we live in a generation where people, instead of eight, hey, let me tell y'all, everybody ought to take a turn preaching one time. One time. So you can see the facial expressions that people give you. There are times that I'm looking at you, and I love everybody in here. Let me tell you something. If you were at the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was 6 foot of snow, I'd call somebody with a four-wheel drive, and we'd get there. Yes, sir. Live or die, sink or swim. We'll get there. I love everybody in here. But there are times that I look out at you, and I'm thinking, my soul, did I miss a funeral or something? Or go home and read the obituaries and make sure that I didn't miss something. Are y'all okay? Some of y'all literally look like you're mad at the whole world and all of heaven and yourself. And I'm thinking, and I know we have problems, we have situations, we have things that are going on in our lives, and I can tell by looking at your face. But some of y'all, when the service starts, you've got one complexion. And the Bible talks about the changing of the face. Okay, you got one complexion at the beginning of the service. I mean, oh, they're singing the songs that you like. Oh, man, they just sang my favorite song. And your face is just gleaming, just hallelujah. Offering plate comes by and you just got your taxes back. So you put an extra $5 in. Yes. All right, y'all okay? Then the kids get up and your little one or your grand little one or your niece or your nephew gets up there and they're singing and they do something cute. And you're just smiling. And then the pastor gets up, he reads the scripture, and you're just so happy. And then he says it. Whatever it was. And here's what's so funny. A lot of people think that I know. That I know what got them mad. I don't have a clue. I don't even have any idea what makes me mad sometimes. Much less everybody else. So here's what's got to happen when that happens. When I find myself, God dealing with me about something, I got to handle that thing. I've got to handle it now or it'll just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I can tell it on your face when you're dissatisfied. I can tell it. And I may not know why, and you may not know why, but the Lord knows and He can help you. Amen. And I'm not sorry about preaching. And I'm not sorry about shouting. And then he says, amen and amen, with lifting up their hands. Boy, I love to see God's people lifting their hands to heaven. Do you know that's biblical? It is biblical to raise your hand to God. All you're doing is, that is a physical sign of worship. There's emotional signs of worship. I was at a meeting a while back, and the boy on the front pew, all he could do is just squall. I mean, he squalled like an old cat. And he was doing that, and they tell me my grandfather down at Tabernacle in Greenville, he'd be bad to sit in the back of the church and whistle. Now, I don't know that I want a whole bunch of whistlers around here, but my soul, whatever it takes to get you to get in the place that you're saying, I'm glad I'm saved, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. You may not even say it out loud, but a hand lifted to heaven is better than nothing. They couldn't help it. They were so excited about what Ezra was saying that they said, amen, amen. Oh, I love church. Look at the next phrase. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I was in a meeting one night, and listen real close now. I'm moving fast. I've only got a couple left. I was in a meeting one night at a church. The people of God got under a burden. This may have happened here before. I don't know. But I was at a church one. It was a very long church. And the people of God got under a burden. And they took all the names of lost people that they had written down. And they spilled it out on the floor of the church. And there were people laying in the floor, squalling out to God in that church, crying out to God for those lost souls. There were people that were praying downstairs. And they crawled up the steps. And I was preaching while all this was going on. I'm preaching. And people started laying down on the ground and just calling out to God for lost people. You know, it bothers me when people want constant attention to themselves. It bothers me. A true mode of worship, okay, and it comes in order, okay? The Word of God was read. There was some amens. Then there was the lifting of the hands. That's a perfectly normal mode. But it don't stay that way. It's not God's will for you to come up here on the stage and hold your hand up for everybody to look at you during the whole service. That's not the way it works. What happened after they went up for a minute? Straight down in their faces. And if we get to the place on Monday nights And I thank God. Let me tell you something. Monday night, we had a super turnout. I have no sad stories or bad things to say about Monday night. It was good. Great turnout. But if we got to the place on Monday nights where we ended up on our faces in the floor, I would say we're going in the right direction. But the day that everybody wants attention is the day that we're going in the wrong direction. I'm not sorry about preaching and shouting and worshiping. Now I want you to skip down to verse number 8. Okay, look at verse number 8. So they read in the book of the law of God, what's the next word? Distinctly. That means they read it and then the word distinct here means to pierce with it. So they took the word of God and they made sure that it sunk in. Don't let the word of God go in one ear and out the other. Let it sink deep. Okay? They read the book of the law of God distinctly, and then it says, and gave the sense. The phrase here, gave the sense, means they defined it. That's why I'm so big on words in the Bible. When I preach to you, I want you to know we're not just reading the Bible just for the purpose of hearing ourselves talk. We're going to tell you what it means. We're going to dig into that thing and let it go in our souls. They defined it, and it says that it caused them to understand the reading. They understood it. They didn't stop till they understood. Now here's what I would challenge you to do. There's places in the Word of God that you don't understand. You've come across it and you don't understand it. And you think, well, maybe someday I'll get that. And you keep going. I would love to talk to you about those places in the Bible. We can make a conversation out of it. That's wonderful. Hey, but do not let up until God shows you the light. Stay in that thing and let it work into your soul. All right, lastly, look at verse number 9 and 10. And Nehemiah, which is the Tereshite, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, here we go, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep. Let me tell you, when you get in the holy presence of God, you're going to realize there's some bad things that we've got to deal with. Okay? So, I'm not sorry for mercy. He said, mourn not nor weep. God inserts His mercy. The fact that you're here today and you are not suffering the judgment of God is His mercy. And we ought to shout and thank God for that. I thank God for mercy. There's so many things I've done and been involved in my life that God could have thrown me in hell at a moment's notice, and He did not because of His mercy. Mourn not nor weep. You don't have to be defeated because of God's mercy. But then He says, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. You know what that is? That's repentance. They repented. I'm not sorry about repentance. When I come to you with something in the Word of God that God has given me, or another preacher's preaching, or a Sunday school teacher's teaching, or you're just reading your Bible and God deals with you about something and it causes you to mourn and weep, you need to repent of that thing and enjoy the mercy of God and move on. I'm not sorry about repentance. You know, a lot of people quit preaching repentance. There's a lot of people that don't get saved because they won't repent. All right, in verse number 10, I'm not sorry about grace. Look at verse 10. Then He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So here they were. They got the word of God. They were fellowshipping together, all right? They were fellowshipping together. They were so tight that it looked like just one person. They were enjoying the fellowship of God. And then here comes the preacher down the road and said, hey, bring us the book. Give us the word. And he got up and he preached the word of God to them for a few minutes. They got under conviction. They got under conviction after just the reading of the Word of God. They got under conviction. They fell on their faces and worshiped God and repented of their sin. And then when they got up, He said, hey, take what you got and shine it all over the place. Because we have the grace of God. We have God's grace in our lives, and we ought to shine that like the brightest light all over the place. Does that encourage you when you leave out of this place today to take what you have? And don't be sorry about it. Tim read this morning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, it's so dangerous. The Bible says that if we're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of us. And there's a lot of depth to that. Did you know that if you really, really are trying to cover up the fact that you're part of the people of God, you may need to be concerned about your own salvation? That's how I read that. And you may be saved and there's just so much sin in your life or shame or whatever. But if you really have no desire whatsoever, none whatsoever, to let that light shine, you may have some major serious spiritual problems going on. But I'm not sorry about it. And today I would ask you this, and we're going to have an altar call and then close the service. And I ask you this. Maybe God's dealt with you about something today that you need to improve in your life. We're going to pray. And as I'm praying, you should need to come to this altar and do business with God. It's the Word of God was read. God's dealt with. Don't be embarrassed. Hey, that's what this altar's for. God has brought me to the altar so many times.